Do you play rock and roll music?
Oh, no, sir. I consider it degrading, deteriorating, and degenerating.
The music, if you can call it that, physically assaults anyone dumb enough to listen.
I can't take no more of this radio.
Rock and roll is for morons.
The rock and roll dance party, raw, primitive, out of control. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. till midnight, right here on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook.
God, I hate rock and roll.
Yeah, and this is WUSB, Stony Brook. God damn it. No, I warned everybody, okay? I said last week that I'd be in a bad mood, and I am in a bad mood. I've been in a bad mood ever since last Tuesday. And, you know, it's not just because the election didn't go my way, okay? I'm not that childish. It's the way it happened. It's the way it played out. It's the incredible stupidity and arrogance and just blindness that leads to these results. It's just so... It's almost funny how absurd it is. That's how absurd it is. It makes me laugh. If I wasn't so pissed off, I would be laughing heartily right now. But oh my God, oh my Massachusetts, really? This is how you're going to play it, huh? This is how history is going to be made. Of all the states to sound the death knell for what little healthcare reform we have on the horizon. And, you know, it's all stupid. It's all really stupid because the Democrats have this amazing majority. They had what was known as a super majority. That's 60-40. But now it's 59-41. It's still a majority. It's still a pretty good majority. But you know what? They can't do anything with it. For some reason that I cannot figure out, Republicans still have control. Democratic president, Democratic Senate, Democratic House of Representatives. And yet, If the Republicans don't like something, it doesn't happen. How is it? How is it that I was able to live through 8 years of Reagan, another 4 years of Bush the First, another 8 years of Bush the Nightmare, and the Democrats weren't able to stop anything, even though they were in the minority. They were in the minority at that point, but they didn't have the power that the Republicans have now as the minority today. And of course, the Republicans somehow had power as the majority, which somehow the Democrats aren't able to do now. I don't get it. Makes no sense to me. So yeah, by losing that crucial Senate to a Senate seat in Massachusetts to a pickup truck driving cosmopolitan centerfold redneck right wing anti healthcare Republican jerk. I wish I could think of a better word, but I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's perfectly fun to hang out with and talk all kinds of things like sports, particularly, which apparently the Democratic candidate knew nothing about, and that was one of the reasons why she lost. I forgot what I was going to say about him, but okay, I can say some things about her and how she single-handedly lost this race on her own. I do not blame Republicans because, like I said, Republicans are just doing what they're supposed to do. What I do blame are the wishy-washy Democrats who simply back down at every opportunity, are afraid to make a stand. God forbid they do something that might threaten their chances of being reelected sometime down the road. And what you get out of that, you get this sense of entitlement. You get no real progress, no real change. Then the people who speak loudly and defiantly wind up with a mandate because they have people who actually believe in them. It's really hard to believe in people who don't take a stand. Now, I only hope Obama's got some character left in him after all of this and will continue to fight for what he believes in. Although it's really, really difficult with this kind of support network. State of the Union is tomorrow. It should be interesting. Let's see if he continues to stand up for things that the Republicans do not like, or if he'll try to cross the bridge and make friends with them. I think it's pretty obvious they don't want to make friends. They want to unseat him and every other Democrat in power at the and the word power doesn't even make any sense because there is no power now. It's just some kind of silly dance that's going on. But I wasn't particularly thrilled with the healthcare plan as it finally turned out. But the reason it turned out that way was because of all the wishy-washiness that the Democrats showed, all the compromises, and the conservative outlook of Democrats. Yes, a lot of them were ultra-conservative and had to be placated. But it was all we had. It was the first step. It was something that, when I was overseas and looked like this had actually gone through, the way it was covered was, wow, the U.S. finally joins the rest of the civilized world and has guaranteed health care. And now, because of losing the supermajority, that tentative step may very well never be taken. And do you think there's going to be another step taken anytime soon? Do you think any politician, any real politician, is going to want to go through that hell? No, this was it. This was our chance. Yeah, and the ultimate irony was that it was Ted Kennedy's seat. The guy whose legacy was health care. This is what he was fighting for a good number of the, 46 years he was a senator? It was the one thing he wanted, one thing he was pushing for. It's ironic enough to not get it, but for it to be your own seat, the successor, after you died in office, that's the person who kills it, or who will kill it. Everyone's just assuming that that's going to not survive. I don't see how it can. I really don't. Not the way things are. My way of doing it, okay, if I had any say over this, we're all assuming that the Republicans are going to be complete idiots. And no, idiot's the wrong word. Because idiot implies stupidity, and they're definitely not stupid. I already used the word jerk, so... well, that word does apply. Okay. If the Republicans are just going to be complete jerks about this, and filibuster every time the Democrats try to do something, I say we let them. I say we let them expose themselves as the jerks they are, and show that they're refusing to let any progress be made. Rather than simply say, oh, they're going to do this, let's not even bother. And maybe then, maybe even the thickest of skulls will be penetrated by the logic that these guys are the ones keeping anything from happening. Maybe some of this anger can be directed their way for a change. But yeah, Martha Coakley, you know, the less I say about her, probably the better. I've never seen anybody destroy a political campaign as efficiently as this woman did. Not campaigning, basically assuming that she was just going to be handed the seat, saying a bunch of dumb things. Yeah, if you want a scapegoat, there she is. Now, I suggest those of us who aren't going to get health care now as a result of her stupidity, we send her the bill. In fact, you know what? Not just her. How about the whole state of Massachusetts? Because you guys, you have health care. Massachusetts actually has a decent health care plan for its citizens. So you weren't that worried voting any chance of it for the rest of us down. Well, you know... Maybe it should be on a state-by-state basis. I would support that if that could somehow be done. But I don't think our state could handle it. I don't think we have the capability of doing that the way I see vital services being cut around here as well. Yeah, well, you know, I'm just I feel frustrated by the whole thing. I really do. And you can express your frustration, too, by calling us a little later on. We're going to be taking phone calls. Yes, sorry to say, there is no basketball game tonight. We actually have 15 more minutes to make an even hour. And we'll be taking phone calls, assuming there are any listeners out there that have anything to say about this or any other item of interest. And we have a bunch of new things tonight, too. But I think we might as well just get right into it, right? All right. First of all, we had something a couple of weeks ago that we mentioned. We'll get back into the political landscape in just a moment. But a couple of weeks ago, I believe I played a sound, which I totally forgot to explain last week because well, we were kind of rushed and we had a guest and all kinds of other things, and I totally forgot to explain to people, especially the people who wrote in with their theories, what the sound actually was. Here's the sound. Here's what it sounds like. Yeah. kind of a strange sound. You want to hear it one more time? Well, I don't think the CD player can play it twice, can it? Okay, I can hit that button. All right, fine. Here we go. One more time. Yeah, that's the mystery sound. Now, Marcel from the Netherlands wrote in saying, to me it sounds like an announcer chime at a train station. I half expect to hear something about a delay for an international train from Berlin to Amsterdam or something after that chime. And incidentally, I like the Year in Review show. It was great fun to listen to. I can't believe how loud those insects were. Referring to the program we played at the end of last year where we did 5 minutes a month and made an hour out of that. And in August around here, insects are very loud. Yeah. And also, Marcel liked the horror flashback show. It made me want to go back there. Had a blast at horror. That show really reminded me how much fun it was. Thanks, Marcel, from the Netherlands. You didn't have to go far to get to horror, did you? And hopefully we'll see you at Hope, which has just opened up. Pre-registration and speaker submissions. Go to www.hope.net. We'll have more on that, hopefully, later on. Marcel, you were actually pretty close, I think. I think you were almost 100% right. But not completely. Here's another listener who wrote in. Brian says, I'm pretty sure the sound you played towards the end of Off the Wall on January 12th was what is played before announcement at Charles de Gaulle Airport outside of Paris. I think it precedes flight announcements, but it may be used more generally. Yeah. And Brian goes on to say, I was bummed that the first few shows of 2010 would not allow for phone calls. One of my New Year's resolutions is to listen live and actually call in sometime. I usually listen via podcast. Well, Brian, tonight could be your night. We'll give out the phone number in just a few minutes. Okay, you're pretty close, too. In fact, I'd say between the two of you, you got it, what the mystery sound was. And you know, I can't say for sure that you're completely wrong, because maybe they do play this mystery sound in those other places as well. But I heard this mystery sound at the train station Gare du Nord in Paris. That's one of the big train stations. And that little chime takes place right before any announcement. And different train stations have different chimes. So I guess if you forget where you are, it's one way to find out. But I just thought that was it was kind of cool. And, you know, I heard the chime a whole lot of times because I spent a good amount of time in the train station, especially when all that that Eurostar nonsense was going on, just watching all the commotion and the media and all kinds of good fun like that. I realized after listening to it closely that what seemed like pure music was actually a human voice as well. Listen closely. Yeah. I didn't realize that on first listen, but it is definitely a human in there. So that was the sound, a chime at a train station. How about that, huh? That was pretty incredible. That's the answer to the riddle that that we had. Now, we have something else that I'd like to start this week. Actually, this is something I haven't done in quite a long time. And I have to reach over here. Somebody gave me something last month, and I thought it would be really keen to play excerpts of this during the show at various times throughout the next couple of months or so. It's a record album. Yes, a vinyl record album. And when I say I haven't done something in a long time, I have not played vinyl at this station in forever. I hope this turntable over here works. I really do. We're going to find out in just a moment. But this piece of vinyl that someone gave me is called Good Friends Are for Keeps. Oh, isn't that cute? But that's nothing to do with what's on the record. It's got to do with the telephone company. Yeah. Good Friends Are for Keeps, the 100th year celebration album, America Sings of Telephones. This would have been nice to have on Off the Hook last year when we were playing telephone songs. But what we have here is basically an anniversary album. Now, the 100th anniversary of the Bell system was in 1976, so that's how old this album is. Yeah. The star of the Philadelphia Centennial Exposition of 1876 was a strange new dance. I'm sorry, strange new device. That type is kind of dark here. A strange new device called the telephone. Really, it's like black on tan. It's very hard to read. So if I'm pausing a little bit, it's because I'm trying to make out these words. Strange new device called the telephone. And in the century since, and keep in mind, there's only been one century between 1876 and 1976, in that century, a century teeming with marvels and discoveries, the telephone emerges as the invention closest to the American essence, fully deserving of its common birthday with the nation itself. The telephone, as President McKinley quietly put it, at the turn of the century, is bringing us closer together. He said that. Yeah, he did. Words failed to capture the excitement of the Bell Century, 1876 to 1976. It has been a century of hopes and expectations, of great dreams realized, of myth and magic transformed by science into reality. Fortunately, this same vital century brought us a new form of music, a new art, if you will, popular music, because all the music before then wasn't very popular. Yeah, okay. With the passing years, the popular song has chronicled every facet of American life, permanently including the public's love affair and occasional fits of pique, is that what it says? Yes. With the telephone, this is unbelievable. It's so dark, this print. You should never print dark print on dark background. It just doesn't work. I need a magnifying glass or a flashlight or something to make this. Yeah, okay. In song, we can see behind the massive technology and identify in each passing generation the original enchantment of the telephone. Two people apart are brought together. Magic. Now, the first song we're going to hear, or really the only song this week we're going to hear, is the classic Hello, Ma Baby. It's from 1899. And it reminds us, for instance, that the first telephone operators were men. Boys, actually. He connects me with my baby. These boy operators, generally unrefined and uneducated, were considered, quote-unquote, impossible. The employment of women was universally hailed as a blessing. Yeah. So that's basically what we're looking at as far as the environment back then. It was a different time. It really was. So this song is called Hello, Ma Baby, from Max Marath, looks like here, 1899. We're going to try and play the turntable, see if it actually works. And if this is successful, we'll try to play a song from this every week. And that way the entire album gets sent out over the airwaves and through the internet. All right, back to 1899.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss by what? Honey, my heart's on fire. Now, if you refuse me, honey, you'll lose me, then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own. Hello. Hello, hello there. I got a little baby, but she's out of sight. I talked to her across the telephone. I've never seen my baby, but she's mine all right. So take a tip and leave this gal alone. Now every single morning, you can hear me yell, "Hey, Central, pitch me up along the line. He connects me with my honey. Then I ring the bell. And this is what I say to baby mine. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss by one. Baby, my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you'll lose me. Then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own. Hello, hello, hello there. Hello,
morning through the phone. She said her name was Bess. So now I kinda know where I am at. I'm satisfied because I've got my babe's address pasted in the lining of my hat. Now I am mighty scared, cause if the wires get crossed, will separate me from my baby mine. Then some other man will win her, and again is lost. And so each day I shout along the line. Hello, my baby, hello, my honey, hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss by wire, honey, my heart's on fire. Now if you refuse me, honey, you'll lose me, then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own. Hello, hello, hello there.
That's pretty good sound quality for $18.99, wouldn't you say? Okay, well, you know, I gotta say one thing before I go any further. Vinyl does sound better. At least it sounds better here. I don't know. That does sound really crisp and clear to me. It's good to play a record again. Okay, I apologize. Obviously, that was not the original recording from 1899. In fact, upon further looking at the album cover through a microscope, I was able to see that Max Morath actually recorded that song specifically for this album, and was not the original. The original was done by Joseph E. Howard and his Emerson? And Ida Emerson. I'm sorry, reading this text is just almost impossible. So what I'm going to try to do is find the original of that. And if anyone out there can help me with that, I'd certainly like to hear the original from 1899, if that's even still in existence. How about some liner notes that are printed on normal paper on the inside, where you can actually read them a little bit? It's magic. A few whirls or taps of your finger, and you can be almost anywhere, across the state, across the nation, across the oceans. It all began just 100 years ago. A young teacher and inventor named Alexander Graham Bell turned a dream into reality with the first telephone call to his assistant Thomas Watson on March 10th, 1876. Yeah, from that first call to your most recent call today, a parade of dramatic advances has transformed that strange, crude telephone into a worldwide communication system that's a vital part of your daily life and, quote, the next best thing to being there, unquote. Now, for those of you who might not know, that used to be the slogan of the Bell system when there was just one Bell system, the next best thing to being there. The first telephone central office or exchange was opened in New Haven, Connecticut in 1878 with 21 subscribers. And the very first female telephone operator was hired a few hours ahead of her sister. Her sister was named Stella A. Nutt. Not kidding. But the first operator, her name, as we all know, was Emma M. Nutt. Emma Nutt. She was hired in Boston in 1878. And in 1881, the first commercially successful long-distance line, 45 miles long, was put into operation between Boston and Providence, Rhode Island. By 1885, when the American Telephone and Telegraph Company was first established, the company's longest transmission line extended from Boston to New York. Special night rates for long-distance calls were first introduced in 1887. In most cases, but not all, night rates were lower than day rates, as they are today. Well, again, this is from 1976, so quite a bit has changed, but it's always good to hear music, even if it's not from 1899, but hopefully at some point It will be. Okay, what is going on in the world? All kinds of other things. Well, of course, you know, Air America took it rather hard. They went out of business the day after this election was lost. Yeah, they're gone. They just packed up and left. They couldn't survive. And, you know, to be honest, it never really was that good. It never really was that good because I think they were trying too hard to counter what were successful radio programs on the right wing. And they were focusing too much on the message rather than the business aspect of it. So instead of simply hiring people and letting them worry about making good radio and talking about political ideas from a different side of the spectrum, they basically neglected the actual business aspect of running a radio network in favor of getting a particular message out themselves. It's sad because obviously we're in dire need of alternative voices, and it really shouldn't be alternative as much as just different, not all the same voices. And to do that, sometimes you have to be abrasive, sometimes you have to speak loudly. And these voices do exist. They exist in other forums, other places, Pacifica being one of them, but there are certainly lots of non-right-wing people on the radio in various parts of the country. So it's sad, but inevitable. I really didn't see that network lasting very long, even after they first started, because they just didn't seem to click. You know, you don't need a conservative network to put out Rush Limbaugh. He puts himself out, and a network carries him. So what we need are good radio people, people that get on the air and talk about different things from a different perspective. Shouldn't just be one side. And I'd say the same thing even if radio were somehow dominated by leftists, which it certainly is not. But if that were the case, it would be boring. You don't want to hear the same thing all the time. All right. And some positive signs of the current administration, President Obama has taken aim at the Supreme Court, saying the justices had handed a huge victory to the special interest and their lobbyists with last week's 5-4 decision to lift restrictions on campaign spending by corporations and unions. You heard about this, right? It's unbelievable. It's like, what do we need now? We need for corporations to have a bigger voice in politics. Yeah, that's what the people are demanding. So you can only imagine how that's going to affect future elections. But it's good to see somebody in power actually attacking this and saying this is a bad idea. This takes away from the sanctity of elections. Puts too much power in the hands of the already powerful, who are not human beings, but corporations. This ruling strikes at our democracy itself, Obama said, adding, I can't think of anything more devastating to the public interest. The last thing we need to do is hand more influence to the lobbyist in Washington or more power to the special interest to tip the outcome of elections. So, yeah, think about that. Think about whose interests are being represented with that kind of a statement. Definitely not the special interest, definitely not the corporations. So who does that leave? Human beings like us. And the United States plans to appeal a federal judge's dismissal of charges against 5 Blackwater security guards accused of killing 17 people in Baghdad in 2007. We covered this back then when it happened. It was a bloodbath. It was a horrible situation, and it underlined the negative perception of America in so many eyes around the world. And I'm happy to say the United States is not happy with the fact that those people got away with murder, and they're appealing it. That would not have happened, obviously, under Bush administration or possibly a whole lot of other administrations. Joe Biden, Vice President, said the United States is determined to hold accountable anyone who commits crimes against the Iraqi people. An attorney representing one of the 5 defendants in the case said he was disappointed by Biden's announcement in Iraq, saying it was motivated by political purposes as opposed to legal reasoning. This is not how the Justice Department announces its intentions in any case, said David Schertler, attorney for Dustin Hurd. We had no idea that the vice president was going to announce a political decision. Maybe it's just a human decision. Maybe it's just something having to do with seeing the evidence and the horrible atrocities that have been committed and a desire to maybe turn the other way. But what do I know? So, yeah, you have some positive movements, and I guess that's somewhat of a good thing. Then you have weird stories, like what... I just picked this one up on the way out today. It's on CNN, titled, Four Men Charged with Senate Office Infiltration in New Orleans. Listen to this. This is crazy. Four men were charged today with attempting to illegally access and manipulate the phone system in a district office of U.S. Senator Mary Landrieu, Democrat of Louisiana. Joseph Basil, Robert Flanagan, James O'Keefe, and Stan Dye were charged with entering Landrieu's New Orleans office, which is federal property, under false pretenses for the purpose of committing a felony. That's according to a news release from the local U.S. Attorney's office. Now, Basil and O'Keefe attempted to gain access to her office on Monday while posing as telephone repairmen. Flanagan and Basil were each dressed in blue denim pants, a blue work shirt, a light green fluorescent vest, a tool belt, and a construction-style hard hat when they entered the Hale Boggs Federal Building. Now, after they entered the building, the two men told a staffer in Landrieu's office they were telephone repairmen, according to the release. They then asked for and were granted access to the reception desk's phone system. It's bizarre. Who does this? Who goes into a senator's office attempting to mess around with the phone system, other than some of my friends, maybe? But no, nobody I know would be dumb enough to actually try and pull something like this off. There's more going on here. Mark my words. Continuing with the story, and this is what's really weird. O'Keefe, one of the people, recorded their actions with a cell phone. Okay, you know, that kind of just, if you're trying to remain unsuspicious, that's not the way to do it. How many phone repairmen have come to your house and recorded their activities with a cell phone? Yeah, Flanagan and Basil later requested access to a telephone closet, claiming they needed to perform work on the main phone system. Dye aided the others in planning the operation, according to this release by the attorney's office. And if convicted, the four men would each face a fine of $250,000 and up to 10 years in prison, according to the release. there's got to be more going on here than four guys randomly going into the office of a senator and trying to mess around with phones. What exactly were they up to? And who are they doing it for? Because it strikes me that... something else must be going on here. The CNN story is surprisingly slim on details. I just saw it before the show, so I haven't had a chance to really look into it. But I don't know. I don't know. That's just bizarre. Maybe attempting to plant some kind of a bug or something? Do you really need four people to do that? Weird. Okay. In France today, more bad news. French lawmakers recommending a partial ban on any veils that cover the face, including the burqa, mostly the burqa, the full body covering worn by some Muslim women. The ban would apply in public places like hospitals and schools and on public transport. It would also apply to anyone who attempts to receive public services. But it would not apply to people wearing the burqa on the street. Well, gosh, thank you for that. What's incredible is that... President Sarkozy said the issue is one of a woman's freedom and dignity and had nothing to do with religion. Find that really hard to believe. So basically, they're going to enforce a woman's right to make up her own mind by telling her that she has no right to do what she wants to do. That's really what I'm getting out of this. Because a lot of people who wear burqas want to wear them. If you want to ask them why, go ahead and ask them why. Maybe we won't understand the reasons. But it's not always because they're being forced to. Yes, it can be. But you know what? Women can be forced to wear dresses. They can be forced to wear all kinds of things by abusive people. Anyone can be. How many of you wear suits and ties because you don't want to? Or rather, and you don't want to. You know, how many of you wear these because you're told you have to? And yeah, it's not covering your entire face, but it's not something you really want to do, is it? But you do it anyway. But in this case, that's not always the situation. I wouldn't go around wearing a burqa myself, but if somebody I knew wanted to, it's their choice. I'd respect that. I'd have a little trouble figuring out who they are, since you can only see the eyes. But it's their choice. That's what it's really all about. And if we're going to start banning things like this, first of all, the reasoning, I'd like to know what the reasoning is. If it's not a religious thing, what is it? You want to know what people's faces look like? Okay, how about we ban police helmets, too, where they look like stormtroopers? Can we do that? Because that's pretty scary. You don't know who they are. Anytime a face is covered, yeah, fine. Let's apply it across the board. Why not? All right. So many things to go through here. I even wanted to read the weather forecast for yesterday. We had a bit of a storm here yesterday. In fact, all day it was raining and very, very windy. And I subscribe to the service where I get alerts when crazy weather is heading in. And this past Sunday, this alert came over. Listen to how it's phrased from the National Weather Service. Strong southerly flow ahead of a storm system moving into the Great Lakes Sunday night will pump copious amounts of moisture into the region. Will pour copious amounts of moisture into the region. Yeah, you know, somebody's got aspirations to be a bit more literary than writing weather forecasts, apparently. I've never heard that phrase used in relation to weather before. Keep it coming, though. I think it's great. We need more such things. All right. Now it's time for a brand new feature. Yes. As promised a long time ago, and we're finally getting around to it, it's the quest for Starbucks. Now, is this really the best music we could pick for this? It just sounds like some kind of crazy ceremonial dance type of a thing. All right, well, it works. We can make it work. Yeah, drink exotic coffee from other parts of the world, I guess. For those of you who don't know, I've never actually set foot inside a Starbucks, and that was by accident, and I one day realized that this was in fact the case, where everybody I know had been going into these places, and I'd never set foot in one. So, really, really distracting. Are they finished? Okay, good. Wow, I don't know if I can get used to that. So, basically, it turned into a bit of a game, where I wanted to see how long I could keep this up for. And it seemed like it was pretty easy. You know, I had no real desire to go into the place. I had consumed some of their products. That wasn't really an issue. But actually walking into the establishment, never done it in my life. How many other people can say that? Pretty incredible. So I made a vow. I think I made the vow right here on these airwaves. I said, I will go to a Starbucks. I will go to a Starbucks one day. But first I would like to go to Cuba. And as if that wasn't good enough, I'd like to also go to North Korea. And guess what? I did. I went to both places. Went to both places a couple of years ago, in fact. So I've long been overdue to keep my promise and to go to Starbucks. But the thing is, which one do you go to? This is kind of a big deal. You know, I've never been to one in my entire life. I really should make a careful decision as to which one will be my first. It should be a very special occasion. And so I decided to compile a list of as many Starbucks as I possibly could get. And I came up with a listing. And I know this isn't every single one, but it's damn close. It's enough for me. 9,547 Starbucks around the world. Various places. Now, what I have decided to do is go to one of them as my first one. and to pick that one completely at random. Yeah. Now, it's going to take some time. It's going to take a little while to narrow it down. What we did right before the show was run a little computer program to take those 9,547 Starbucks and whittle them down to a total of 8,192. Now, that particular number is significant because if you keep dividing that in half, eventually you get to the point where it's 32, 16, 8, 4, 2, and then 1. So it gets rather exciting. It's not very exciting right now because all we've done is chopped off a few of them at the bottom of the list. And we're not going to go through and say which ones we have and which ones we don't have until we start getting to the point where it gets exciting. Maybe 64 or 32. So you could see the various parts of the world that I might be forced to travel to go to my first Starbucks. And, you know, before the show, I asked a couple of friends to help out and pick a number at random just to see what randomness might bring me. And one of my friends decided to be a real wise guy, and I said, pick a number between 1 and 8,192. This was after we did the elimination. He picked 1, number 1, of course. And that turned out to be somewhere in Alberta, a city beginning with the letter A. So obviously it's done alphabetically, the numbering system that we have. Another friend of mine, who happens to be in Seattle, picked a number in the middle, 7,000-something. And it turned out to be a Starbucks down the street in Seattle. And there's no way that could have happened, because there's no way anybody else knew the numbering system that I had thrown together on this. So that was an incredible coincidence. Then I ran a test myself just to basically do a mock-up of the elimination as it will go on for the next however many weeks, and wound up in Santa Monica, California. So you see, there's all kinds of bizarre things that could happen. And what we're going to do next week is take the next step, go from 8,192 to 4,096. So you see, every week we're going to hate the song a little more. Every week we're going to get it down further and further. And while it doesn't sound very exciting right now, it's believe me, it will be, because you might hear your town as one of the finalists. And rightfully be scared of the possibility that I might be showing up there. Okay, you know, can we get the dancers out of here, please? Because they're really distracting to me. They're nice. No, it's very attractive traditional dress there and all that, but it's overkill for what we're trying to do here. What I'd like to do, if I can speak over them, is take some phone calls. We're at 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. That's our phone number. And let's hear some opinions on various things that have been going on in your life, in the world. And thank you. This is ridiculous. Way too much. All right. We're going to have a meeting after the show about this. If I see some phone calls coming in, we'll go right into delay and take these phone calls, because I do want to hear from people. We haven't taken phone calls in such a long time. Remember the last few shows of 2009 were recorded, and we had some basketball games this month, which shortened the program. So now we have a little bit of extra time. We can take phone calls. 631-632-9872. We always like to know that people are out there live. We know people are out there on the podcast. We know people listen later on. But it's really cool to hear your voices and converse back and forth. Yeah. And, you know, I know it takes time, especially on the Internet. So maybe those of you who are listening live, you might have the advantage. You can call in and be a part of things right here locally, 631-632-9872. I'm going to start reading another story. When I do that, you know, that takes time. And I guess I could read some listener email. Dear Manuel, you're wondering what kind of insects make all that noise on warm August evenings in our show with the 5 minutes per month. Yes. They are not insects at all. They are tree frogs, and that is their mating call. It's a very distinct sound, and it's very audible in the background of your August recording. I suspect that recording was made within a mile or so of a swamp or pond, because they lay their eggs in water, and they usually call for a mate in wet areas. Signed, Eric. Well, Eric, you're right about that, about the frogs and what they do, but those were not frogs that you were listening to on that show. Those were quite clearly katydids and crickets and various other insects that come out in late summer here in this region. I've heard the sound you're referring to. They're called peepers, and it's kind of a spooky sound. But that was not the sound we heard in August. Hate to disagree with our listeners, but in this particular case, it was warranted. Cassandra writes, I think I found the origins of the storyline of the first Bunky and Spunky. Must have been the movie Blasting Cab Danger, released in 1957. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about with Bunky and Spunky, you'll have to listen to The Voice of Long Island. New show is put up every Friday night at midnight. And by new, we mean 28 years old, because it first aired from 1981 to 1983 on these very airwaves. And they're being rebroadcast and stuck in our archives once a week. Go to www.2600.com/VOLI, V-O-L-I, Voice of Long Island. No calls? Really? Did we lose all our listeners while we were away, while the basketball was on? Is that really possible? 631-632-9872. We only have a couple of minutes left, so if we don't get calls in the next minute or two, then we're not going to be able to do this. All right, I see a call coming in. I'm going to go to delay now. Let's hope this all goes smoothly and we can actually take a phone call.
Peter Parcel Patterson's Fat Pig Porky listens to WUSB, Stony Brook. Peter Tork telling you so.
And here we are on delay. Again, the number is 631-632-9872. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening.
What's on your mind?
Well, just when you think people of this country can't get any more stupid, they really surprise us.
Now, are we referring to the hopes and ambitions behind the New York Jets that were dashed, or are we referring to the election perhaps in Massachusetts?
Well, the Jets are part of it.
Yeah.
It's that whole political situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why people believe everything that Republicans say, but they don't trust the Democrats.
Yeah, I think we have to look at the Democrats as how they actually communicate. I think they might be a little bit too tentative and too conciliatory towards their opponents. And
they want to play the game fair.
Yeah, it's nice. It's polite. It's a gentlemanly thing to do. But this is politics. There's no room for gentlemen there. And you have to be loud and abrasive. It's the same reason Air America failed. They were too tentative. They weren't strong enough in getting the message out.
Yeah, and it's very sad.
It is sad. But maybe there's hope here, because it might kick some people in the ass and get them to actually be a little bit more assertive in their positions. I'm hoping tomorrow night during the State of the Union that Obama demonstrates this. I really hope so.
But, Stu, maybe his mistake was trying to save the economy. Maybe he should have just let the country go to hell.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. This guy inherited a debt of over $1 trillion. The biggest deficit ever. How in the world can anybody blame him for the financial crisis that's still affecting us now? That boggles my mind right there. The last people we should be taking any advice from are Republicans who got us into this mess in the first place.
I don't understand it, but it just continues to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Well, let's not give up. Let's not become cynical. We have to hold out hope. There's people like us around there somewhere.
No, when Obama was elected, I thought finally people were starting to get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people are impatient. They want change immediately. They want immediate gratification. If they don't get it, then they're going to blame people. And Americans love to see people fall. They love to see the high and mighty, triumph one day and then be in the gutter the next day.
I heard someone in Massachusetts right before the election say that Obama was arrogant.
Uh-huh.
Where does that come from? It's just mind-boggling.
I think it's a synonym for intelligent, maybe.
Could be.
Yeah, it's
had that in politics in a long time.
Uh-huh.
I don't think people like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We just got to talk to more people, make it an issue, and concede nothing.
Yep.
All right. Where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm in Holbrook.
All right.
Long Island. Yep.
Well, good to hear from you.
You too.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. And we do have a little bit of time for more calls if anybody else wants to voice their opinion on various things. Shouldn't be afraid to do that. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe people are afraid of retribution if they say something. Well, here at WUSB, We encourage people to express themselves in all manner of discourse, and we hope that you live by those rules in your day-to-day life, as well as calling up the radio station. I'm going to give you one more minute, 631-632-9872. If we're no more calls there, I'm just going to resume my bad mood, which I started with. And maybe there is no hope at all. Yeah, I'm doing the guilt trip. I really am. We have another 3 minutes to take phone calls before we really have to get out of here. By the way, Finn is coming up. He hasn't been around in a couple of weeks either. So he's returning. I understand he's not doing anything concerning basketball tonight. So those of you who are tuning in for that, you're going to be disappointed. Again, 631-632-9872. Our email address is otw@2600.com. And we love to read your letters, even the ones that say, yeah, I'd call in if I was listening live, but I wasn't, so I didn't. Yeah, they're kind of frustrating to read, but we understand. We understand it happens sometimes. 6 o'clock in the evening is a very inconvenient time. And so is every other time zone that people seem to be in as well. All right. Okay, that's it. I'm giving up. Going back to live now. And here I am live. Let's read one more letter before we get out of here. Dear Manuel, I being a younger generation listener and from Finland, I'd like to bring up a few things to think about for the rest of the people listening. First off, school bus stops. Oh, yeah, now the phones are ringing. Very funny. Very funny. You got me again. School bus stops. We were talking about this last year when we had nothing else to talk about. It's just plain silly. I personally had to walk approximately 300 meters to my bus stop to get on my school bus. This added to the fact that I had to cross a few streets. My parents had both gone to work at the time I was leaving for school. This is also not a school bus, but a regular bus with a simple number we needed to remember to not get on the wrong one. Puts it all in perspective, doesn't it? Yeah. Thanks, Christian from Finland for writing in with that perspective as well. Christian writes about the minarets. We were talking about minarets being banned in various countries in Europe, too. As a religious abstainer, i.e. atheist, I would have all reason to want any and all religious buildings brought down. That is the ideal world, in my view, a world without religion. But, on the other hand, I feel it's wrong and goes against the freedom we all enjoy. I know you can complain about the call to prayer, but that they make from the tower, but I personally feel just as annoyed when the local church rings its bells in the middle of the night here. So to get back to the point, banning architecture or any distinguishing feature for a certain group of people is wrong and stupid in many ways and simply helps separate people even more. You might not want to live next to Muslim architecture, but I would rather have that around me than people who want everybody and everything to conform to their tiny world view. Keep shouting the voice of reason over there. Thank you, Christian, for those words of wisdom, and I hope to hear many more of them in the future. All right, that's it for me on the show tonight. Again, write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll see you next week, and hopefully we'll get some more phone calls. Good night.